Please open your Bibles to the book of Romans, chapter 8, page 1201 in your Scofield Bible. You're reading the first 9 verses. We'll read the verses responsively. The 9th verse is the text verse for this evening's message. And shall we stand, please, as we always do when we read the Word of God. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace, because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Together now on the text verse. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Let's pray. Thanks, Lord, for the Sunday evening services. It's a wonderful thing to be able to come together again. What a great service this morning. We still are remembering that with gratitude and the blessing of it. But tonight you've got more business to do, and we pray that we would be alert to that which you would do in this service, but especially what you would do in our own lives. Give us attentiveness, help us to be quiet, help our preacher to have thy power, in Jesus' name, amen.
I promise you that I promise you this, a bit more brief than usual. I'm going to scold all of us tonight, including the man behind the pulpit, including every Christian here, the best Christians here. I'm going to scold all of us tonight. I'm going to speak on the subject, the disposition of Christ. The disposition of Christ. The word Spirit is in a little spirit. That word means personality, disposition. I'll come to that after a while, but let me tell you before I pray of a good example of my sermon. I want to tell you about a wonderful man. His name is Joseph. Most underrated man perhaps in the Bible. He had never known Mary as a husband and wife. All of a sudden, she became pregnant. Now, can you look at me? Can you imagine that? All of a sudden, here's a fella, never known her as husband and wife, and all of a sudden, she's expecting a baby. The first thought was to follow his inclination that was given permission in the Old Testament, was to put her away privately. But the Bible says first, don't miss it, he thought on those things. And because he did think on those things, then the Holy Spirit sent an angel to him. that would never have come. And can you imagine, I don't know, doctrinally I'm not sure I understand this, but can you imagine, here is Joseph about to put away privately a woman who's carrying the Christ child. I don't know all the consequences of that, doctrinally, theologically. But I want to tell you that the Holy Spirit could never have sent the angel if Joseph had not thought on those things. A little bit like that is what is said of Mary. Said she pondered these things in her heart. I hope you'll listen to me as I try to speak. Father, bless me as I speak to our people tonight. So easy after you preach to the same people almost 40 years for them to take for granted. And I pray none of us shall do so. Give us a fresh lesson tonight from the Word of God. In Jesus' name, amen. When Elijah was going back to heaven, he caught up by a whirlwind in a chariot. His assistant or associate, Elisha, said, "I'm not going to leave you." They were in a place called Gilgal. Elijah and his successor and assistant, Elisha. After a while, Elijah said to Elisha, "I'm going to Bethel. Now I want you to stay here. I'm going alone. I don't want you coming along." Elisha said, "No way, Jose. I'm going with you to Bethel." Elisha said to Elijah, "If you go to Bethel, I go to Bethel." So the two of them went to Bethel. After a season, Elijah said to Elisha, "Now I'm going to go to Jericho. I want you to stay here in Bethel." Elisha said, No. I was with you in Gilgal, in Bethel. And if you go to Jericho, I also am going to Jericho." So the two of them went to Jericho. After a season, Elijah said to Elisha, "Don't leave me now." He said, "I'm now going to Jordan. I want you to go with me to Jordan. I don't want you to go." Elisha said, "No, I'm going to go." Pardon me. Elijah said, "No, I want you to stay here." Elisha said, "I was with you in Gilgal. I was with you in Bethel. I was with you in Jericho. Now if you go to Jordan, I'm going to Jordan too. I'm not leaving you." Elisha asked him, "What in the world are you staying close to me about?" Elisha said, "You're going to heaven. Before you leave, I want a double portion of your spirit." Now, if you'll check that word spirit in 2 Kings chapter 2, you'll find it is not capitalized. Elisha is not saying that I want your power. Preachers all, and I'm not going to preach on this subject tonight. I'm using this as a springboard, but preachers all across America say, "Well, Elisha said, I want the mighty power of God you've got, and if I can hang around you, I can get it." No, you don't get the power of God hanging around man. You get the power of God hanging around God. You don't get the capital S spirit hanging around man. So what was Elisha saying to Elijah? He was saying, "I want your disposition. I want your love. I want your zeal. I want your enthusiasm. I want your sense of humor. For you see, you're president of a college." It was called Howells Elijah College. "And you're president of a college." And he said, "You're going to be gone. But I," and so the preacher boys that come after you're gone will not know you. "So I want to get your enthusiasm so I can transfer it to those preacher boys. I want to get your zeal, your sense of humor, your love, your compassion, and I want to transfer it to those preacher boys." Now, that's what he meant when he said, "I want a double portion of your spirit." You can't get the power of God from hanging around a man. You get the power of God from agonizing before God and begging God for his power. And night after night and day after day alone with God, after having met the conditions of separation and service and so forth. Now then, I pivot. That's what my message is about tonight. The Spirit of Christ. The disposition of Christ. The love of Christ. The zeal of Christ. The enthusiasm of Christ. The personality of Christ. Now we're told in the Bible, don't leave me, we're told to have the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Philippians 2:5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So I'm commanded by the Holy Spirit, as he inspired the apostle, I'm commanded by God to let the mind of Christ dwell in me. Again, John 13:34. As I have loved you, as I have loved you, you also ought love one another. So I'm commanded not only to have the personality or the disposition of Christ in having his mind and thinking like him. By the way, I promise you, a lot of these guys on the platform, after I'm in heaven, that they'll still think like I think. I mean, it's amazing. The other day, Ray Young said, I knew what you'd say before I asked you. And the reason is they've been around me so much and they've watched my brilliant mind so much that they, most of them just have my witty mind. Most of them just have half of it, but you're not with me tonight, are you? But anyway, Jesus said, you ought to love each other as I love. Not only that, Ephesians 4:32, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. So I'm supposed to think like Jesus. I'm supposed to love like Jesus. I'm supposed to forgive like Jesus. 1 John 4:17, as he is, so are we in this world. I am to be like Jesus. I'm to have his disposition. I'm to have his personality. I'm to have his small s, his spirit, if you please. And John 20:21, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. John 14:12, verily I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, because I go to my Father. Listen carefully. God says I and you are supposed to have the Spirit, little s, the Spirit of Jesus, or the disposition of Jesus, if you please. Now, this is going to be a line upon line, logical sermon. How then did Jesus have this disposition? How did he love like he loved? How did he work like he worked? How did he forgive like he forgave? How did he think like he thought? How did he have this disposition that we want to emulate and we're commanded to emulate? How did he do it? He did it by the Holy Spirit. It was the Holy Spirit that made him have his Spirit. For example, Luke 4:18, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, he said. In Luke 4:1, Jesus being full of the Holy Ghost. In Matthew 1:20, that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. In Matthew 4:1, then was Jesus led of the Spirit. Hebrews 9:14, Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself. And Luke 4:14, Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee. And Romans 8:11, the Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead. Don't leave me now. I'm giving you line upon line, precept upon precept. I'm supposed to have the Spirit of Christ, and he had his Spirit by yielding to the Holy Spirit. He was born of the Holy Spirit. He was led of the Holy Spirit. He walked in the Holy Spirit. He was filled with the Holy Spirit. He went to the cross with the power of the Holy Spirit, and he was raised from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. So, if I want, hear me now, if I want the disposition of Christ, I must walk in the Holy Spirit. For this is the way he received his disposition. Hey, Christ did not do his work on earth as God. He did his work as a Spirit-filled man. So that you and I would have the availability of the same power that caused him to do what he did and be what he was. Now let me go to the sermon. That leads me to the prompting of this sermon. A preacher came to me, and he said, Brother Hiles, I believe God's Spirit is upon you. And he said, I want God's Spirit upon me. And he said, I've asked God to give me his Spirit and to give me his power, the power of the Spirit. And Brother Hiles, how can I do it? And I asked this question, and I want to ask you the same questions. I asked him, how many hours a week do you sleep? Don't miss this. He said, 50, about 50. How many hours a week do you eat? He said, about 15. In some cases, some cases, about 3 hours a week. Boy, you talk about not filling a guy's shoes. You may fill his shoes, but you ain't filling his pants, I'll tell you for sure. Now, I said, how many hours a week do you eat? He said, about 15. How many hours a week do you sleep? He said, about 15. I said, how many hours a week do you spend, like, bathing and washing your hair and taking care of your person? And he thought a while, and he said, I guess about maybe 10. I said, how many hours a week do you spend in amusement or recreation, like maybe travel or golf or fishing or hunting or something like that? And he said, well, I guess I'll average about 5 hours a week in recreation. I said, how many hours a week do you spend, to the preacher now, on church business? He thought a while, and he said, I guess maybe 15. I said, how many hours a week do you spend watching television? I'm not talking about watching movies now. I'm talking about watching the news or just watching television. And he thought, he said, I guess that I spend maybe a couple hours a day, about 15 hours, watching television. I said, how many hours a week do you spend driving your car? He thought a while and said, I guess about 15. I said, how about your daily or weekly chores? How many hours a week do you spend on those? Again, he thought a while and he said, about 10. I wrote all these down, added them all up. In the things that I've mentioned, he spent 145 hours. Now, don't leave me. I said, now then, how many hours a week do you spend meditating? He said, what do you mean by meditating? I said, that's zero then. How many hours a week do you spend meditating? Now, you listen. In every place in the Bible where success is mentioned, meditation is a part of that success. He said, zero. I said, how many hours a week do you spend praying? We're talking about a preacher now. And he honestly and ashamedly said, about 2 hours a week. I said, how many hours a week do you spend just reading your Bible? He said, about 2. I said, how many hours a week do you spend praising God or confessing or thanking God? He said, about 1. I said, now then, I added up your sleep, your eat, your recreation, your church business, your television, your exercise, your driving the car, your daily chores, weekly chores. I got 145. I added up your meditation, your prayer, Bible reading, praise, confessing, and thinking, and I got 5. Now I said, son, here's your problem. You cannot have the Spirit of Christ without the Holy Spirit. But you cannot have the Holy Spirit until you learn to live in your own spirit. I'm talking about thinking. I'm talking about meditating. I'm talking about things that are not material. And I said to him, I said, you know what? I said, the truth is, you spend as much time in golf as you do in the non-material, little s, spiritual side of your life. I said, you spend 3 times that watching television. And by the way, don't you Pharisees get too high and mighty here, because so do most of you. I said, you spend 3 times as many hours, and this is a disgrace in the sight of Almighty God. You spend 3 times as many hours watching television, not necessarily television that you'd call wicked or sinful, but television, as you spend meditating, praying, reading the Bible, praising, confessing, thinking, thanking God for His goodness. You spend 3 times that much watching TV. You spend 3 times as much time eating as you do on the spiritual, little s, 3 times as much time driving your car, and twice that on recreation and exercise. And I said to him what I said to you, you will, until you enter into that non-material side of your life, where you're alone a lot. Hey, we spend too much time fellowshipping. We spend too much time partying. We spend too much time telephoning. Now listen, the average person in this room does not know himself. Until you get to a place where you spend time alone with in the spiritual in comparison to the material, then the Holy Spirit has no place to go. For your soul is embodied, or your body is the vessel that keeps your soul, and your soul is the vessel that keeps your spirit, and your spirit is the vessel that keeps the Holy Spirit. Until you decide to get away from this world a lot and spend some time alone thinking about the goodness of God, the mercy of God, thinking about other people, thinking about thoughts instead of things, thinking about the spiritual instead of material, you not know what it is. And that's why most preachers don't have the mighty power of God. We're too much on the material.
things and buying and selling and eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage, somebody ought to tell the people you got something up here between your eyes, behind your skull, calls your brain, and you ought to get alone sometime and use it.
Now, you can't be like Christ. Spirit. His disposition until you walk in the Holy Spirit. And you cannot walk in the Holy Spirit until you walk in your own spirit. This illustration is worn out thin. But it is far and away the best illustration of this sermon. I must use it again. Forgive me as you do every Sunday for using illustrations over again. Years ago, there used to be a place out on 175th in Columbia called the White Hen Pantry. The White Hen Pantry, well, as you know, a little 7-Eleven type convenience mart. In those days, I stopped there every morning and bought me a paper. I think it's USA Today, a paper anyway, every morning. I always stopped there. In fact, I got to know the people there real well. I like to shop at the same places, so I know the people with whom I trade. One morning, I went to 7-Eleven, I'm sorry, White Hen Pantry, parked out beside the place on 175th Street. About 10 inches of snow on the ground, it was about 12 below zero. I got out of the car, I walked in, I got my paper, I went back to the car, and the car wouldn't start. I mean, it wouldn't give a grunt. It didn't even go, it just wouldn't, it was dead. I went back in the White Hen Pantry. I said, can I use your telephone, please? And I did. And I said to I called my mechanic. And I said to my mechanic, who serviced our buses at the time, about 25 we had then. And I said, I'm at the corner of 175th and Columbia. And I'm beside the White Hen Pantry. My car is dead. Would you come and get it started? He said, Reverend, he said, you haven't got the only dead car in this area this morning. It's below zero, snow on the ground. It'll be about an hour before I can get there. Oh, no, 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 said I. It will not be an hour before you get here. Oh, he said, you're way down the list. I said, I just jumped to the top of the list. He said, I can't do that. I said, how long have you been servicing our buses? He said, about 10 years. I said, would you like to try for 11? He said, I'll be right over. He came over. He sat down in the driver's seat in the car and began to work on something down in here. I was outside the car. In less than 3 minutes, he had my car purring like a kitten, just running. I said, man, you are the best mechanic in the world. The car was dead. You didn't even open the hood. And you fixed my car, and it's running well. He said, thank you. That'll be, I think he said, $35. I gave him $35. He says, well, there's a penny. You have to have a mechanic as smart as you are. I said, do you mind me asking you what was wrong with the car? He said, the stick was not in park. Oh, dirty bric-a-brac, a peckle-a-brotcha-brotcha, slide a rip. I paid that guy $35 to slide that stick up to park. Now, what that car was saying to me, that you put the stick in park, you cannot drive me. Until you put, forgive me for using it like this, because you put yourself in the non-material, little s, spiritual, you'll not ever have the privilege of having the power of the Holy Spirit or walking in the Holy Spirit. You've got to put the stick, if you please, in the non-material. I'm saying, why don't you just break up a lot of your telephone conversations and think for a while about the goodness of God? Why don't you break up a lot of your parties? Listen, some of you folks will spend party after party after party after party the Christmas season, and you won't spend 5 little minutes meditating about the fact that God came to earth in the form of a man. And you'll never walk in the Holy Spirit till you walk in your own spirit. Your body, as I said a while ago, is the dwelling place of your soul. Your soul is the dwelling place of your spirit. And your spirit is the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit. And He will never use you or lead you or fill you until you make room for Him to dwell in your own spirit. And the question comes, how then do I qualify myself to have the Holy Spirit's power?
Answer, by walking in the Spirit. Your Spirit. Meditation, if you please. A lost art. The first Psalm. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. Listen. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. How long has it been since you just read a scripture and thought about it for 10 minutes? Now, one reason that you're a flop, one reason you're not a success, my Bible said, he shall be like a tree planted with the river of waters that bringeth forth his fruit in the season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. I'll say it again. The God in heaven says that you're not going to prosper unless you meditate on his word day and night. And until you get the place that you meditate, you'll never live outside the material. Till you escape the material and come to the invisible, which is your own spirit, you're never going to know what it is to be moved, led, or empowered by the Holy Spirit of God Almighty. Now you listen to me. You listen well. It's time God's people quit fellowshipping so much and spend some time alone thinking about the good things of God. Joshua 1:8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do all according to all that is written therein. For thou then shalt thou make thy way prosperous, and then shalt thou have good success. God never separates meditation from success. God never separates meditation from prosperity. I'm not talking about driving a new car, living a new house, having new furniture, wearing nice. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about spiritual prosperity. I'm talking about spiritual success. And God said, you're not going to have it to quit fellowshipping so much and get along with God and meditate for a while. I'm not talking about praying. I'm talking about just living in the non-material for a while. What a tragedy. I'm not so much alarmed about the way the heathen world celebrates Christmas. I'm alarmed about the way you celebrate Christmas. I'm not so much alarmed about the liquor parties that a bunch of heathen have. I'm not so much alarmed about the secularism of Christmas. But I'll tell you what I am alarmed about. I'm alarmed that people like you and me have been swept up into the secularism. And we spend more time driving our cars to our families, sitting around tables, talking, and I'm not against all of that, but in God's dear name, somebody ought to stop and spend some time thinking that God incarnate came to live among men. Psalm 19:14, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and our Redeemer. 1 Timothy 4:15, the Apostle Paul said to the young preacher, meditate upon these things. Psalm 119:15, I will meditate in thy precepts. Psalm 119:48, I will meditate in thy statutes. Psalm 77:12, I will meditate also. Psalm 119:99, thy testimonies are my meditation. Psalm 119:97, I love thy law. It is my meditation all day long. So let's look at the little outline here now. The first thing you do is get alone. I said get alone. I said, leave the fellowship, leave the parties, leave the hip hip hooray, leave hang the telephone up, put it out of the wall if you have to, and or take it off the hook, or put the little stupid machine on that says, I'm sorry, we're all busy right now. You leave your number, we'll call you back someday. Turn that thing on and get out of your house and go out in the woods somewhere by yourself, or sit next to a lake somewhere, or look at the trees that God has made and stop and meditate about your friends, about love, about your church, thanking God for your job and thanking God for Jesus. I'm trying to say you are not ever going to be a success in the sight of Almighty God till you learn to meditate. I said a while ago, we partied too much. We telephone too much. And I want to say this too. Too much fellowship is the fertilizer for gossip. Too much fellowship is the first, and by the way, most of our fellowship is not fellowship, it's gossipship. There is no room or time in our spirit for the Holy Spirit. It was while in the spirit that Moses saw the burning bush. In his own spirit, little s. It was while in the spirit that Joseph thought on those things and did not put away Mary. It was while Paul was in the spirit, little s, in the Arabian desert, that the Holy Spirit directed him. It is said Mary pondered in her heart. It is while in the spirit, little s, I get my sermons. I get ideas for the sermons. I get thoughts to give you on Sunday morning and Sunday night. Now, ladies and gentlemen, Christmas is here. Christmas is here. Okay, put your tree up. Nothing wrong with that, in my opinion. Decorate your house. We've got a bunch of deer out in front of our house, and we've got a bunch of little, what do you call those little things? Lights that along the sidewalk. Huh? Talk to me. Luminaries, sure. That's it. That's what I thought it was. We got a bunch of luminaries and canaries, and we got a big wreath. And I'm not against that. Go ahead, buy your presents for somebody you love, but ladies and gentlemen, never dawn on you that the whole purpose of this is that Jesus came, God incarnate, the babe of Bethlehem was God in the flesh. Never dawn on you, in God's name, sent you some. I'm talking about it as much as 30 minutes every day from now on to the Christmas season, and meditate. Get in your spirit. If you get in your spirit, the Spirit of God will never get with you. He hasn't got enough time. That's what Joseph did while he thought on those things. Boy, you'd have had Mary with a nap in the neck because you don't spend time to think. I was talking the other day to an atheist. I'm going to preach a sermon on it one of these nights. On an airplane to an atheist. He said, I have too smart a brain to believe in all that stuff. I said, you don't have a brain. God said, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Didn't say the fool has said in his head. Because God knows there's nothing in your head. Never dawn on you why God gave you that brain. He gave you that brain to think with. What a tragedy. You will spend more time Christmas Day eating than you will spend in your spirit. Or watching a game. Or partying or fellowshipping. Or having fun. And I'm not against that. But somebody ought to stop and realize that in all... You know how I compare this to? I compare this to a couple getting married. They fall in love. Personally, I prefer jumping in love, but they love each other. So he proposes, and boy, they just love each other so much. So they set the wedding date. Then she gets busy. She's got to choose her wedding gown. She's got to choose the dresses that her attendants are going to use. She's got to go down and order the cake. She's got to go down and order the flowers. She's got to get the candles. She's got to get the decorations for the wedding. She's got to figure out something about the reception, what they're going to serve at the reception. And she spends maybe a couple of 3 months getting ready for the wedding. And then the wedding march is played. And she looks at the fellow and she says, I met you somewhere before, didn't I? Yeah, he says, I'm the reason for all this. Remember me? Oh, yeah. I can't remember your name, but I remember the things. And that's the way we are about Christmas. There is, after 2,000 years, no room for him in the inn of your mind. No room.
And that's why you don't walk in the Holy Spirit. Because you cannot walk in the Holy Spirit till you get your mind in park. And you can sit there and change the spark plugs on that car and change the tires. You can change everything in valves, everything else in that car, but it's not going to run till you get that stick in park. And you can do all you want to, go through all emotions, all you want to, but you're never going to know the blessedness of the fellowship and leadership and the power of the Holy Spirit until you live in your spirit. So, His Spirit lives in your spirit. Your spirit lives in your soul. Your soul lives in your body. But you will never know His power, the Holy Spirit, that is, until you know what it is to walk in your own spirit. I close. How much time have you spent today meditating? It's necessary for success, the Bible says. How much time today? Oh, you spend a lot of time talking. Maybe you got some friends you talk to about criticizing somebody that's a leader in the church or the school. You got time for that. Won't you shut up and start thinking about how good God is? Oh, you got time to eat and drink? That's what Jesus talked about. He said, people won't be ready for my coming. Why? Because as in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the Son of Man. Men shall be eating, nothing wrong with eating, and drinking, nothing wrong with drinking unless it's the wrong kind of drink, and buying, nothing wrong with buying, and selling, nothing wrong with selling, and marrying, nothing wrong with marrying, and giving in marriage, nothing wrong with giving in marriage. What he's saying is, you get so busy on that which is visible, you never take time to think on that which is invisible. Our Heavenly Father, I'm going to quit. I wish I could take 2 more hours and talk about this subject. I wish I could go through the Bible tonight and show how that every time the Holy Spirit of God came upon somebody, those people at Pentecost were in their spirit so the Holy Spirit could come on them. Elisha was in the spirit, little s, before the Holy Spirit's power came on him. The Apostle Paul was in the spirit, little s, for 3 years on the Arabian desert before the Holy Spirit came on him.